Turn in your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Tonight we are going to look at the Bible and we're going to see why God gave us local churches. And I'm glad that you can praise the Lord for this church. I do too. I really do. If you think about it, there are a lot of guys I think that are still preaching the truth, but God's just been favorable to us. I mean, He's done, and this is His. And I really praise the Lord. We've got a good place to be together, and got good friends here, and a lot of other things that the Lord's been doing for us, and for Himself, which is great. Acts chapter 2, very familiar passage, verses 42 to 47. We'll pick up verse 41 for the context. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now beginning with our text. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's a fabulous passage of Scripture. It's familiar to us, but in its familiarity, we shouldn't lose some of the great import that's in this passage. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless the study tonight before we take our prayer request. Father, we thank You tonight for an opportunity to look in the Scripture and see this great passage. Father, we come to You and we know that we are sinners and we rejoice in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in justification and sanctification and holiness and righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, because, Father, we had no righteousness to bring to the table. We really have nothing that You can use, but You choose to do something in us anyway. You simply take these bodies, these unworthy vessels, You fill us with Your Holy Spirit, You bring us to the vine and attach us, and then allow us to bear fruit and allow us to rejoice in what You're doing in our lives. And we are well aware that when You said, without Me you can do nothing, You were talking about us, and we got that. We're excited, Father, to be here tonight to open the Scripture, to see something in here that really affirms the reason that we gather together like this on a Wednesday night or on a Sunday. And I'm thankful tonight, Father, for all those that praise You for numerous things. These may seem like small things to the world, but they're huge to us. When people can pass safely through traffic and come away unharmed, and thank You for it. There are many who drive through that and think it's because of their skill or that they were lucky. These folks realize that it's because of You, and we appreciate that. Now tonight, Father, we pray that You'll bless us with good understanding in Your words. We also pray for Scott Strobel up in Longport, New York. Father, I pray he and his church, there will be a good, sound witness in Lockport to the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. This world doesn't much care for You anymore as a world. There are a lot of individuals who do, and I pray they'll find more people there who will willingly receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and live for You. We ask You to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God gave us local churches. In other words, when God set this up, He could have very well said, okay, here's what we're going to do. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit's going to baptize you into My body. My body's up in heaven. And then you just rough it out the best way you can. Just stay as close to us as you can. And individually, do the best you can to tell others and stay encouraged and hope it all works out and I'll see you when the rapture comes. He could have done that. And of course, I made light of it the way that I put it because He didn't do it that way. He gave us the organism of the body of Christ and then allowed us to organize local churches. And not only did He give us that opportunity, but of all the times that the word church is used in the Bible, there's probably 100 times when the word is used about what you're doing here tonight, a local congregation doing the things that you see in verses 42 through 47. Now, God gave us local churches for several reasons that are doctrinal, but there are some practical reasons that are in this passage of Scripture. Basically, he gave us local churches to make sure that the problems that you face in life don't become the problems of your life. There's some good things going on in here. And it's common for people to point to problems in their lives beginning when they got out of church. I know that's my testimony. There was a time when I spent a good bit of time in church, I got away from church, and the problems that I encountered out of church are not the problems that I encountered when I was in the church. And so the local church became a good defense, a good help, a practical thing in my life. God gave us local churches to help us in our Christian lives to avoid some problems. And the question is, how did he do that? Well, there's a number of things. I won't belabor each point, but look at these things. First of all, he allows us in local churches to avoid some problems in our Christian lives by the apostles' doctrine. See that up there? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, every church has doctrine. It's either false or it's true. The doctrine that you have in this church is the doctrine that comes directly from the Scripture. And that's the doctrine that God gave the apostles. Paul was an apostle. Peter was an apostle. James and John, the ones that wrote, they're apostles. And you are continuing to this day steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. This isn't man's doctrine. We may add some words to expound the doctrine, but it's God's doctrine. And it's the same doctrine that Christians have lived by who are true to the Word of God and true to the Lord Jesus Christ and true to the local church for 2,000 years. It's an amazing thing. Everything that's sold today and marketed is new and improved. You can't make this any better than it already is. Okay? Now, you get in a good church, you're going to get good, sound doctrine, and sound doctrine is going to get in you, and that it's going to keep you on the straight and narrow. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Let me tell you, that Scripture gets in you, and it really helps you. He says in 2 Timothy 4:3, but there's a time coming when they will not endure sound doctrine. I don't know when that time came before, but I know it's here now. I know it's here now. And here's the truth. You are never going to learn the Bible outside of a good local church the same way you are inside of a good local church. You're going to learn a lot of Bible studying on your own, and you should. But I'll tell you, there's so many things that I've learned from the Bible listening to another man preach, another man teach, in the filling of the Spirit of God. And God gave it to us that way. He said the gift that he gave to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And those are for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those are for the work of the ministry. Those are for the perfecting of the saints. People that get out there and say, well, I'm going to stay outside. Say, what am I doing here on a Wednesday night, the day after Christmas? You know what you're doing? You're feeding yourself in some doctrine that is going to help you and strengthen you against things that other people face out there without this. All right, another way that God uses the local church to help us is through not only the apostles' doctrine, but notice here in verse 42 and 46, holy fellowship. Not just fellowship, but holy fellowship. Notice what he says here in verse 42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Verse 46 there, they were breaking bread from house to house, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They had some really good fellowship. You know what? We are designed for fellowship. It's the way God made you. I mean, when you're out there, you know, in the world, people like to get together and they like to socialize. They like to socialize so much that when they can't be together, now they have designed a way on the internet to socialize in social networks. The strange thing about that is the more they socialize together in social networks, the less they know how to socialize together in person. It's a strange, strange thing. But you're designed for fellowship. That's the way God made you. And that's partly due because we are part of the same body of Christ. And you know what? You can't have fellowship with Christians to the degree that we do without being in a local church. It just doesn't happen. How is it these days people are in their homes, and that's where they stay? You might see a neighbor or two walking or driving down the street, say hi, be a little bit cordial, but you don't really get to know each other. And here in church, you know everybody's names, you know the children's names. I say that, and I'm not going to call on you to start repeating everybody's names. But in 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 7, you don't have to turn there. John starts talking about the fellowship that we have with each other, fellowship with Christians. He talks about fellowship with God the Father. He talks about fellowship with God the Son. And those fellowships, those three, keep us in the light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You see that? They keep us in the light. You know what that is? I saw that beautifully today, but that, you know what that is? That's taking a piece of dead wood and putting it on the live coals of a fire. Today I had a beautiful fire in the fireplace, and you know, some of the family's there now, and they woke up, and they're like, whoa, boy, that's just what I wanted to see. That thing's burning. It burned into those really hot coals when there's no more flame, and they were all over that little rack. And I asked one of the kids, I said, you want a little more on the fire? Oh, yeah. And I got one piece of wood and put it on there, and I mean, immediately that thing began to burn. You know what happens when you take a dead Christian and bring them inside of a live congregation where there's a little fire going? They'll catch the flame. It's the way we're designed. If not, you take that live coal and take it off the fire, it's going to go out. It's going to go out. You start skipping church, and here comes the trouble. Here comes the sin. You're going to have trouble anyway. Amen? You really don't want to have it out there without some good fellowship. All right, another thing he shows us in here is not only that God gives us the apostles' doctrine in local churches and holy fellowship, but also effectual prayer. Look in verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in the breaking of bread. That's part of fellowship. If you didn't already break some bread tonight, when you finish, you can go into the kitchen. I think there's some pumpkin bread in there and some cookies in there, and you can break a little bread before you go. But also in prayers. You know something? We need people praying for us. You may not come here and make too many prayer requests. You still need people praying for you. And you need to be praying for other people. God does a very special work in us when we begin to do what He told us about bearing one another's burdens. You're going to spend a lot of time in prayer alone. That's a fact. However, there is nothing like praying together with other people who mean business with God. Nothing like it. He says, first of all, command that there be prayers for and supplications with thanksgiving given for all men, especially for them that are in authority. In Acts chapter 4, the saints got together and they started praying because they were suffering some persecution. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Tell you what, there's something about praying together with men and women that mean business with God. It's a great rejoicing to have people raise their hand and say, you know, we've been praying about this job. We've been praying about this situation. We've been praying about this guy's neck. We've been praying about this marital situation, this whatever. And then come back and have people say, you know what? And God answered the prayer, this and this and this and this and this, God's done. How do you like it when you pick up the phone to talk to somebody you hadn't talked to in a while and they say to you, boy, God's done some marvelous things, and I know you've been praying for me and I sure appreciate it, and you hadn't been praying for them. You feel left out, don't you? All right. What else does He give us in local churches? Not only these three things, but look down here in verse 43, godly fear. All that believed were together and had all things. Oh, yeah, verse 43 says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, do you know some God-fearing people? That's not a term that people use so much to describe men and women today. Back in the old day, when I was growing up, even though I was in the Catholic Church, I'd hear somebody say about a man, that's a God-fearing man. But you know, how many of those God-fearing people that you knew or have heard of were out of a local church? that ever went to church. You know, that's a strange thing, isn't it? I may have, but I can't ever remember meeting a real God-fearing person who was not actively involved in a local church. That's something. The fear of God is something, obviously, that's going to guide you in your life when you're apart from each other, but it's something that seems to be accentuated in the presence of other God-fearing saints and the work of the Holy Spirit in a good congregation. Now, look over here in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. All right, Ananias and Sapphira, you know, the problem they had about lying about the size of the offering, and both of them died. But after all that episode, verse 11, Acts chapter 5, verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And that was a good thing. God recorded it in here, not as a bad thing, but as a good thing. All right, look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and look at verse 31. We saw this the other night. It came to, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. All right, here's churches that are resting. What are they doing? One, they're walking in the fear of the Lord, and two, they're in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and three, they're multiplying. That's something. Walking in the fear of God. Listen, the fear of God, we talked a lot about this Sunday night, so I won't expound on it much more than that, but fear of God is the greatest thing in the world. I mean, it keeps you in your Bible, it keeps you straight, it keeps you as a good husband, it keeps you as a good wife, it keeps you as a good parent, it keeps you as a good businessman. It just does so many wonderful, wonderful things for you. And it's good to be in the presence of people in a local church that are God-fearing people. I think when local churches really stray and begin to go down, it's because they lose the fear of God and they start working in the fear of men. And when that happens, it's disastrous for the church. Then it's probably not a good time to be there. But it'll really keep you up in the fear of God to be in a good local church. All right, notice something else that God gives us to help us in our Christian lives in good local churches. Unselfish giving. Look at verses 44 and 45 of Acts chapter 2. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, you don't see as much demonstration of that today like you did back then, but partly because you don't see the necessity. Most of you have a place to live. Most of you have transportation. Most of you have some kind of gainful employment. Most of you have a little food in the refrigerator. And so there, you don't see the need to have all things common like you did here, where obviously these people were bearing a lot of reproach when they came to Jesus Christ. But you know something? There are still needs that are met regularly in local churches. A Christian outside of a good local church is not going to know the needs of other Christians, both in a church or on the mission field, because they're not connected to that. They're trying to sail out there alone. And therefore, they're not going to be able to freely give help to other Christians, particularly anonymously, just the way a lot of y'all have done. And the bad thing, too, is it's going to come around to haunt him sometimes, and he's going to have a need, and he's not going to know where to turn. There are people that call us regularly. Kim's not in here now. I think she's probably back in the nursery. But there are people that call here regularly trying to get light bills paid and rent paid and groceries bought and all that kind of stuff. You know what they are? They've been floating around out there without a local church. God hasn't been blessing them and a lot of other things. Hadn't been tithing. Now they're in trouble. They know to call a church. They suspect that there's generosity among the saints. Trouble is, there is generosity among the saints, but there's not much desire to help somebody who's blown all their money on the world and then coming to God to try to find help. Not much sympathy for that. Okay? But there's a lot of unselfish giving that goes on in a local church. Gives you the opportunity to have the blessing of giving, and it gives you the opportunity to be able to receive when the necessity is there. I'll show you something else. Look in verse 46 that God has given us to help us in our Christian lives in a local church. Verse 46, and they continue in daily with one accord. See that? With one accord. Loving unity. Loving unity. A good local church is in one accord. And they're held together by charity, which according to Colossians chapter 3 is the bond of perfectness. A good local church is a great place to love one another. A local church is a great place to experience the love of the brethren. Now, you know, there are a lot of people that have talked about, man, well, you know, you should have been in the local church we were in back over here, over there, down here, up there. Man, we had a knockdown, drag-out fight. Well, when it gets to that, what you've got is you got too much man and not enough God. They have departed from apostles' doctrine and holy fellowship and effectual prayer and godly fear and unselfish giving. It's all become about the men. You can see that. But listen, when you're in a local church where those things are present, there is a loving unity there that is just fabulous. And not a one of you here tonight came in here not wanting to be loved. You do. We want to be cared for. We want to be able to care for somebody else. And what happens is the Holy Spirit puts on us the fruit of love, love, joy, peace. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It's in there. You get all these guys together, the Spirit of God is in there, and He keeps us joined with charity. I'll tell you what, man, that is a wonderful thing. It is good to be loved. And it's good to be able to love. All right, I'm just kind of hitting the high points and running right through it because there's a lot in here, but I'll tell you something else He gives us. He gives us spiritual joy. Look in verse 46 again. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat how? With gladness and singleness of heart. Listen, if you can't come to church, particularly here, and rejoice and have a good time, you know, you need to have your joy meter checked, right? I mean, really, really. I realize there are things that will drag you down, but again, we're talking about spiritual joy and not just happy faces, okay? There's a major difference. A joy that comes from the Spirit of God and His work in the church and not from man's attempts to make a happy environment is the kind of joy we're talking about. And a lot of churches have traded it in. They say, well, you know, boy, our church is really growing. I ask a guy like that, it's a denominational church. And I asked a guy, how's your church growing? He said, well, our band is just about as good as the band over there at Bay Area Fellowship. Well, I mean, they're starting to flock to us now. Well, that's not spiritual joy. That's a concert. Okay? Where you give money instead of buying a ticket. But it's just that. And it's on Sunday instead of Saturday night. Or some of them you can even find on Saturday night now. A Christian will never experience the fullness of the joy of the Lord outside of a good local church. Any of you guys ever spend a little time outside? You don't need to raise your hand. Ever spend some time outside of church when you knew you should have been inside of church? Yeah. And you were just as happy then as you are right now, right? No, of course not. No, there's a joy in here. You know, I'm here anyway, but I look forward. Wednesday night's a small group, but I look forward to being here. I'm refreshed when we leave here. In the fellowship, in the fact that we've gotten to pray for some folks, in just being with you, something the Spirit of God is doing. I'll tell you, there's a couple of other things too. Look in verse 47. Another thing God gives us is heavenly praise. Notice that, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now, churches know this. I've already commented on it. And that's why they spend a lot of time with praise and worship. But it's twisted today. In a good local church, when they're singing, you are admonished by the praise. It helps fill you with the Spirit of God, and it helps the Word of Christ dwell in your heart richly in all wisdom. The right kind of praise. How do you like that song that you sang right before we started when I came up here? Remember what it was? Draw Me Nearer. And, there was something about that. I noticed we've been singing for a little while, and one thing that's nice about singing more songs on Wednesday night, it kind of gets you into, oh, I'm not out there, I'm not fighting this, I'm here. You know, being drawn nearer to the cross is a good place for us to be. That admonished me. And you can remember that admonishment because you can remember the chorus. Okay? You know I can't remember all the words to the verses. I can be looking at the book and sing the wrong verse. I threw Bobby off one time singing loud over there. I started singing the wrong verse. He jumped down and messed everybody up. But I will say it was heavenly praise. And then the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When you're in a good local church, something that God gives you to help avoid problems is continuous salvation. That is, in a good local church, you're going to see people saved in the services. You're going to see people saved through the personal work of its members regularly because of the preaching of the Bible. And you know what? It encourages you to bring lost people to the service because you know the gospel is going to be preached in truth. It encourages you to raise your family because you know your children are going to hear the gospel and at a certain age come to Jesus Christ and be saved. And what better way to live our Christian life than to get saved young and live for Jesus all the way through? I loved what Joshua Leib said when he was talking to the teens. And he said, you know, people get the idea that you're not going to have a testimony until you've messed up and then you can tell other people, boy, God really delivered me from all this sin. He said, that's not as good a testimony as somebody that said, God saved me when I was little and kept me clean all the way through. Thank God for the testimony. That's what you want to see, is you want to see people getting saved and living for Jesus all the way through. One guy had a poochie lip out and said, I don't have a testimony. I never did anything wrong. And he said, boy, that's the greatest testimony I've ever heard. Because you didn't do that on your own. Jesus had to help you with that, make that happen. So when you look at all these things that are here in these verses, they show us that that's what we ought to be seeing in our local church. But more importantly, they show us that that's why God gave this to us in the first place, is so that there's many other things, so that missionaries can be put on the field, but they're, you know, we're not talking about that in this text, but it sure gives us a place to be able to rejoice together in the body of Christ and physically be able, in a spiritual environment, to be able to enjoy the fellowship and the doctrine and the prayer and the giving and the love and the unity and the praise and the salvation that takes place from time to time. Good thing. Good thing. And I thank God that He gave us local churches. I thank God He gave us this church, aren't you? Amen. All right, Father, we're thankful tonight for an opportunity to be reaffirmed about why we're here on a Wednesday night. Now, I thank you for all these folks that turned out. I suppose a lot could have just said, you know, it's the day after Christmas, let's just skip it. I'm glad we didn't. I'm so refreshed being in the fellowship with these that have been here tonight, and I'm really getting ready to be refreshed, having an opportunity to lift some of these things up that we need to pray about tonight. And know that you're listening, and there's somebody down here talking to you with a lot of other of his and her Christian friends. And I pray, Heavenly Father, we'll be able to rejoice in the answers you give and ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.